if you'd like. Let's dismiss our youth. Your teachers will meet you at the door. And if you are not in the age group that comes on the screen, would you turn to the book of Psalms? Have your Bibles ready this morning. We usually, if you are visiting today, we preach and teach through a book of the Bible, and we're about to wrap up the book of Galatians, but this being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're going to take a break from that, and we'll come back next week and before Christmas finish up our study of Galatians. Before we begin, I would like to show you a video. It may offend you, but that's okay. I'm kidding. Think of how you ask God for things and what you ask Him for as you watch this video. Your friend. They don't get it. Now, I didn't mean to offend you, but isn't that the way a lot of us pray? And we come to Thanksgiving and we say, God, thank you for doing things my way. Look at the screen or your bulletin, and it's real simple today. All right? We're going to do it a little different than Galatians, but all you got to remember today is, what is this? A bucket. Very good. What is this? What is this? Don't say a trash can. It's a bigger bucket. All right? What is this? This is a spigot. This is a pipe. Very good. Maybe you are a smaller pipe, half inch, or maybe you are a bigger pipe. You say, what on earth are you doing? Ask yourself, are you living your life as a pipe or as a bucket? Say, now I'm really, really confused. We thank God for all His blessings. And we really are blessed, are we not? If I were to ask you to count your blessings like the old song, count your many blessings, you could go on and on and on. God is good. So many blessings. But the question is, what are you doing with all those blessings? What are you doing with them? Are you enjoying them? And you say, well, that's what blessings are for. Of course I'm enjoying my blessings. But is that it? You're just given blessings to enjoy for yourselves? Are you like a pipe or are you like a bucket? Are you like a bucket? You've got your blessings in your bucket, and you may have a little bucket, or you may have a bigger bucket, or you may have a really, really big bucket, and you're holding on to all your blessings and enjoying them for yourselves, and that's it. Or are you like a pipe, and God's blessings are flowing through you to bless other people? That's Thanksgiving. Now let's compare the two this morning. Buckets and a pipe. It's really easy, isn't it, to live like a bucket? Say, what on earth? Now, stay with me. Don't fall asleep. It's really easy to live like a bucket. And let me give you three ways we live like buckets. They're on your bulletin. They're not going to be on the screen. I don't want to confuse you. What's on the left? Bucket. What's on the right? What's in the middle? A spigot, a tap that opens up the pipe to let the blessings flow through. Here's three ways we live like buckets. One is we live like a bucket when we ignore the ultimate end of all buckets. All buckets, you know, you've seen the bumper sticker. Some of you may have the bumper sticker on your bucket. He who dies with the most toys wins. You've seen okay? I just wonder if I'm talking to people who are still awake. He who dies with the most toys wins. But you know, he still dies. He still dies with his toys. And the thing is, if that's your philosophy of life, I'm a bucket and I'm going to forget about what happens to all my stuff in my bucket and the guy with the most toys wins. Someone else gets to play with your toys when you die. And they don't really care that much about stuff in your bucket. They'll sell them. They'll take them to the dump. They'll give them to Goodwill. Psalm 49, verse 16 and 17. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich. When the splendor of his house increases. For he will take nothing with him when he dies, and his splendor will not descend with him. When someone else, you look at their lives and you say, man, they got a full bucket, and they got one of these big buckets, and they're really full of good stuff. Don't be overawed by that, because what's going to happen to his stuff? If you turn to the Gospel of Luke, listen to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. That's probably the verse that my sister has memorized. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Well, I can tell you there's not much in that bucket. But tell him to divide it. And Jesus said, Man, who appointed me to be judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It does not consist in what is in his bucket. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'll get bigger, bigger, bigger buckets. And I will store all my grain and all my stuff and all my toys. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But go on. God said to him, You fool. That's not a compliment. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? All that stuff in your bucket. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Jesus says it very plainly. It is foolish to live your life like a bucket. You get all your stuff in your bucket. And then what happens to the stuff in your bucket? You know, everything we think we can keep in our bucket eventually leaks out. Or it's stolen. Or it's taxed. Or we have to oil it or paint it or fix it. And we make our bucket list. I'm going to do all of this stuff with my stuff in my bucket. And then you know what happens? We kick the bucket. We die. And what happens to all our stuff? I can tell you from personal experience, going through my parents' buckets, all this stuff that they have told us, now don't forget this, and don't forget this, and don't forget this. Yesterday we spent the day at their house going through their buckets, and we said, "What, you want this, Bev?" "No, I don't want this. You want this? What are we going to do with this?" You know, some of it's nice, and some of it's we want to keep, but a lot of stuff is just, when they kick the bucket, you know, I think about my stuff in my bucket. Do you think Micah's going to really think that's cool stuff? That's what happens to buckets. It's foolish to live like a bucket, the bucket life. How about number two? We live like a bucket when we give ourselves most important person status. You live like a bucket when we want or when we think that we are the most important person in the whole world. God changed all the laws of nature for what I want. And everybody else ought to do what I want. That's called narcissism. Narcissus looked at his face in the pond and he fell in love with his own reflection. Narcissism. That we are the center of the universe. And that rich man that we read about earlier, he was a classic example of narcissism. I am most important person. I'm going to hold on to all my stuff. And you know, Jesus nails him. What does he call him? You fool. He was proud that his bucket was full. He had all of his stuff and his buckets were overflowing. And so he says, man, I don't have enough buckets. I'm going to have to build bigger buckets to hold all of my stuff. God, he was proud of that, but God wasn't proud of him, was he? You know, Peter says, it's all going to burn, baby. I remember a good friend of mine years ago when I first moved to Dallas, and I came from this great town called Hobbs, America, to the big city of Dallas. And there were Mercedes and BMWs and Volvos, and there's just, you know, it wasn't like that in Hobbs. And I kept thinking, man, look at that, look at that. And I'd be riding with my friend to work, and he'd say, Morgan, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Number three, when we think or we embrace the belief that filling our bucket will lead to happiness. I mean, you think about it, your bucket. Go home and look at your buckets. They're pretty full, aren't they? And we think that that's going to buy happiness. Is there anyone in the house today that has tried to embrace that philosophy and said, yeah, it works? I don't think so. John Rockefeller said, I have made millions, but they have brought me no happiness. That's the way of the world. I mean, if the world recognizes that stuff doesn't buy happiness, then why would we as God's people buy into that? No, happiness is to have my buckets full? Henry Ford said after he made millions, he said, you know, I was a lot happier doing a mechanic's job. Wow. Yet we still embrace the philosophy, filling your bucket brings you happiness. Solomon. In the Old Testament, David's son was probably the most wealthy man that ever lived. And he wrote these words in Ecclesiastes 2:11. When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Was anybody here around on Thursday? Was anybody alive on Thursday? Can anybody remember back that far? It was windy, was it not? And I looked out the window and I saw a whole bunch of people out there trying to catch the wind. Of course not. That's foolish. But that's what Solomon said it's like to try to find happiness and fill in your bucket. You know, when people try to keep what's in their bucket, all for their own enjoyment, for me, listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 13. He says, I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. Have you watched the show Hoarders? It does become dangerous. Our wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there's nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. Like Chad said in the video, you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul? You can't take it with you. Can't keep what's in your bucket. Think of the Egyptians and the pyramids and all the stuff they stuffed in there for the next life. If you go and open a pyramid today, what's in there? They're buckets. Isn't it foolish to live life like a bucket? Now, let's look at the pipes on the other hand. You know, as Christians, who, as we've learned in Galatians, are not to be ruled by the flesh, but by the Spirit, we still do try to live like buckets, don't we? Am I making any sense to you? You say, help the boy, come on. We do, even as Christians. And that cruel fantasy, where does it ultimately lead? It leads to disappointment. Because if you think your bucket's bigger than everybody else's and you got stuff, some guy will come along with a bigger bucket. With better toys. And you're not happy anymore with your bucket. It'll lead to destruction. It eventually leads to death. How about the alternative? Living like a pipe. Now, you may be a little pipe. You may be a big pipe. How do you live like a pipe? Let me give you three ways. First one is, when we understand that God created us to be a pipe and not a bucket. I hope when you leave today you go, I didn't have a clue what he's talking about. I think we get it. Number one, when we understand that God created us to be what? Pipes or buckets? A pipe. You know, in God's economy, a pipe is much more useful than a bucket. If you wanted to move 50 gallons of water from here that's in a bucket to over here to another bucket, how would be the best way to do it? Get your little bucket and scoop it up and take it over here and pour it in. How long would that take you? How enjoyable would that be? What if you hooked a pipe from there and turned on the spigot and let it flow? That's what God created us to be. We were created to be conduits, flowers, not receptacles to keep our stuff in our bucket. Now, what happens when a pipe gets confused? When a pipe thinks it's a bucket. That what is supposed to flow through the pipe gets stuck, gets clogged. Who do you call? Roto-Rooter. Unclog it. So that it can get back to doing what it's supposed to do. Letting things, stuff flow through it, not just to it. I could think of some gross examples, but I'll stick to my notes today. You know, what happens to your body when your arteries get clogged up? What happens when your internal plumbing in your body is hindered? It hinders the normal activities of the day. Your body, a pipe. His body, the church, God created us to be pipe because He wants to pour through us huge amounts of blessings, not just for our benefit, but to bless other people, to do His will, to support His kingdom. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command. Now, what's a command? It's an order. He's not saying, this is a suggestion. You might want to think about this. He says, hey, this is what you command the people of God to do. Command them who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope where? In God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them again to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Go back and look at some more of those words there. Who are rich in this present world. Right now. Are you rich? Oh, well, I'm not a Donald Trump, or I'm not that rich. I'm not a movie star. I don't have everything I want. But compared to most of the world, are you rich? Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have food to eat? Do you have cars to drive? Do you have a house to live in? We're rich. Just say to your neighbor, hey, I'm rich, dude. Let's understand, we are rich in this present life. And we have the ability to be high-capacity pipes to let it flow so that you can enjoy what is truly life. Say, well, that's heaven. Yes. But also right now, nothing gives us truly life like doing what God wants us to do. Doing God's will, what God has created us to do. As God has blessed us, have you been blessed? Do you need to think about that? I'm not sure. No. So let me ask again. The answer is yes, just so you know. Have we been blessed? Yes, we are blessed. So turn on the spigot. Let it flow. R.G. Letourneau. You may not have heard of him, but if you're from the great state of Texas, you've heard of Letourneau College in Longview, Texas. He was called the Dean of Earth Moving. He made millions inventing ways to move dirt, machinery. He was also the president of the Gideons at one time. He was called God's businessman. He got to the point in his pipeness that he gave away 90% of everything he made and lived off of 10%. And someone asked him one time, said, listen, RG or whatever they called him, how can you give away 90% of what you've got that's in your bucket and yet you still get richer? How does that work? And this is what he said. He smiled and confessed. He said, I keep shoveling it out and God keeps shoveling it right back in. And God has a bigger shovel. Number two, we live like pipes when we really believe that what we let flow through us as pipes will ultimately come back to bless us later. Now, I'm not talking about, don't get the wrong idea, I'm not talking about health and wealth. That if you give me a seed of faith, you give me $100, you're going to get it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not saying that that ought to be your motive to give so you can get back. But God's Word does say there is eternal payback for living like a pipe. Eternal. I mean, the bucket, you put your stuff in the bucket and once it's full, it's full. And the bucket gets what's in its bucket right now, and that's its reward. Look at my bucket. But a pipe has a different kind of payback. It is eternal, and everything that flows through you also blesses you. You'll be rewarded for that. Jesus says it'll be waiting for you in heaven. You know, when you relocate to your permanent address, and where's that? It's going to be waiting for you. I'm not talking about the stuff. I'm not talking, oh, okay, God's going to take my hearse and take it with me. No. But I think of the how you will be blessed. You're going to meet people in heaven from Peru. Hey, how did you get to heaven? Well, at Valley Christian Church, they every month sent money to send missionaries to Peru. And because you were a pipe, God shared the God. The gospel was shared with me, and I accepted Christ. That's far more better than he who has the most toys wins. That's eternal reward. In Malachi chapter 3, and you know, probably know this very well, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, God is speaking, and he says, will a man rob God? Did you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you, God, in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. You know, that's the only place in all the Bible that God gives us permission to test him. You say, well, but I like stuff in my bucket. And if I don't hold on to my bucket, then I won't have enough to be, what's going to happen to me? God says, you just try me on this. You become a pipe. Let stuff flow through you to bless others. And you just, well, go on, read the rest of it. Test me this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Don't you want to live in a delightful land? And they say in verse 13, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? Well, you have said it is futile, useless to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper. Look at their buckets. And even those who challenge God escape. They get away with their full buckets. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Don't you want to be remembered by God? Don't you want to be on God's scroll of remembrance? You know, what's in your bucket? And you got a lot. We got a lot of stuff in our buckets. You can't keep it. It's not going with you. But what you stack up in heaven, as Paul told Timothy, as a firm foundation, you can't lose. Doesn't that sound like a no-brainer? God is monitoring our outflow. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't put your trust in stuff that can rust and rot and thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. You know, there's not going to be need for an alarm system in heaven. Nobody's going to break in and steal your eternal rewards. See, Christ isn't asking you to give everything away. He's not asking you not to enjoy what's in your bucket. He's just asking you to enjoy sending it on ahead. Not a bad deal, is it? When you consider holding on to your bucket, for how long are you going to live, by the way? At the most, in 100 years, none of us will be alive. Probably a lot less than that, because I'm pushing 40 now. I'm pushing it down. Not a bad deal when you consider it. At the most, we will be here 80 or 90 years. And how long is eternity? Whew. It's eternal. Now, please don't get the idea that I'm saying, give so you will be blessed, and so you'll get a bigger mansion in heaven or streets of gold. Because if you read the book of Revelation, when we get there with all our, and we get our rewards and our crowns, what are we going to do with them? We're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus in worship of him. Number three, you live like a pipe when the desires of God's heart become desires of our own hearts. In Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's memorize that. Repeat that. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, a lot of people think that that means if I delight in the Lord, He will give me what I want. Move the earth, do all of nature, change it all just for me. That's not what it means. You think really, if I just tell God I delight in Him, He's going to give me what I want? You know what it really means? Is when I delight in the Lord, then He will give me His desires in my heart. I will start to want the things that God wants. You know, what God wants, I want. He will replace my fleshly desires about me and filling my bucket to do that I want to do what He wants to do. What He hates, I hate. What He loves, I love. And once our hearts are aligned with God's hearts, we will find ourselves living like high-capacity pipes, blessing His kingdom, doing His will, caring about what God cares about, touching what God wants to touch, blessing those God wants to touch. Go back to the Gospel of Luke, some very sobering words in Luke chapter 12, verse 47. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Well, that's pretty rough. But the one who does not know and does these things, punishment will be beaten with fewer blows. But now you know, so you're not off the hook. From everyone who has been given much, are your buckets full? Let me hear it. Uh-huh. Yes. Then much will be demanded. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Jim Elliot was a missionary to South America in the 50s. He was killed for sharing his faith by cannibals. The rest of the story is that after his body was found, his wife went back to that same tribe that had killed her husband and shared the gospel. And there are Christians in that tribe today. Before Jim Elliot died, he wrote these words, obviously before he died. He wrote these words in his journal. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Which makes more sense? Live like a bucket or live like a pipe? Like a pipe. Has God blessed you? Then turn on the spigot. Be a high-capacity pipe, letting God's blessings flow through you. Open up that spigot. Let God's blessings pour forth. Gush to bless other people. The kingdom of God. Because you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Are you blessed? Turn on the spigot. Let's pray. Father, You have blessed us. And we praise You. Help us sort of silly analogy to make sense to us, to affect our lives, our joy, our giving, our service, how we look at life. Help it all come together in our hearts to align our hearts with Your heart. When things are good, we're going to praise You. When things aren't so good, we're still going to praise You because You are good and You know what is best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll play a song, and if you feel like singing along with this, sing along.